Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel lesson, the gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Well, my son David had considered moving from Phoenix to San Diego earlier this summer, and so along with that, I was thinking about the first time I helped him move out there in the first place. What it was that it was on a Monday morning. We got up very early. It was in mid-August. Yes, moving to Arizona in August. Think about that. So here we are. Had everything inside the U-Haul truck there. Then we packed that up the night before. We put his car on a car carrier, and we're going to tow it behind the truck. Because what we did is we had a 17-hour drive to get to our halfway point in Fort Worth, Texas. That's where my sister lived. So we left Savannah early in the morning, drove up I-16 up to Atlanta, caught I-20 to take it all the way out to Fort Worth. Got there that evening. Spent the night, had to get up again early the next morning, leave by 5 o'clock because we had another 17-hour drive to get to Phoenix. Now, so you're taking I-20 out west there in Texas. Eventually, I-20 ends and it curves into I-10. All right, I-10. I-10 ends up following and paralleling the Rio Grande River. Now, Rio Grande separates Mexico from the United States. And as you get closer out to El Paso there, and actually, you can see the river. And when you're in El Paso proper, you can actually see on the Mexican side there. Now, El Paso is a town of about, well, if you consider the metropolitan area, and Juarez, its sister city on the other side of the river there, it's about 3 million people. And when you're driving right there, right next to the river, well, you can see the Mexican side. And you can see the poverty over there. And you can see the wealth on the American side. And down there in the river, you can see that border fence right there on the American side. Now, we drove out of Texas into New Mexico. And as we're doing that, after about 30 minutes of driving into New Mexico there on our way to Arizona, well, you find a way station. And it said, all trucks must exit. Now, when you're driving a U-Haul truck, well, in every other state that I've ever been in, you don't have to pull over there at the way station. But this one said, all trucks. So, tell my son, I'm driving at the time. It's like, oh, I guess we have to pull over. Now, as we're pulling in there, into this way station, there's cameras on either side of the truck as we're driving in. And they start flashing as we're driving in. And I'm thinking, that's kind of odd, until I looked at the patrol cars over there. They were not highway patrol. Rather, it was border control. So we're pulling up. And there's a border control agent there. He's looking at all the semis there. And so all the semi trucks, he's just looking at them and waving them on. He's just, you know, going like this constantly. And they're pulling in. But as he sees us pull up, he steps right out, has a stop. And he walks right up to us then at that point in time, rolling down the window. And he's like, what do you got in the truck? No, I'm thinking, well, there's no hello. There's no how are you. It's just that question. What do you got in the truck? And they said, well, it's my son's possessions. We're taking him out to Arizona State. Did you pack that yourself? My son and I both at the same time said, yes, we did. He's like, all right, go on. Just like that. So here's we're starting to pull out. I'm thinking that's just odd that he's just only pulling over the trucks. But that's not what was happening. They were pulling over all the cars, too. They were pulling over everybody. And that's when the purpose for why they're doing that became very clear. They're looking for people who might be bringing drugs into the country, or perhaps even people. Basically, they're looking for lawbreakers. Kind of reminds me of the old westerns there being out there in the desert like that. You know, you had the lawbreakers and you also had the peacekeepers. The reason why you had the peacekeepers there was because of the lawbreakers. And that's still true today. And that's what we find in our gospel reading for this morning. Jesus is the one speaking here, and he says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there'll be five divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It's that one verse in the middle of there that seems to get everybody's attention when Jesus speaks it. He says, do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Division. Sounds like a border fence, does it not? Division. Sounds like strife. Division sounds like lawbreakers and peacemakers. Division. Division is not something that God wanted. But division is something that we have upon Jesus' arrival. Division. Two different sides going on here. And when Jesus talks about division, what he's talking about is his side and the other side. It's interesting. Interesting because at the very beginning, there was only one side. There was God's side. And then one in God's creation there chose to reject what God offered there. And when they did, rejected God's word, well, they succumbed to temptation. Adam and Eve, they brought sin into the world. And sin, once introduced, became a part of their nature. And what I mean by that is that, well, did they naturally seek out after God? No. They naturally did that which they wanted for themselves. They were inclined to sin. And that's what they did. They wanted to do it their way. And we too, we want to do it our way. And consequently, we sin. And we sin a lot. And those sins, what do? They create division. They separate us from God. That puts us on the other side of the fence. The lawbreaker's side. Hell's side. Yet God did not want that to be the case, and we all know that. We know that's why Jesus came, to take the punishment for those sins. He did that on the cross, taking the punishment for all our sins there, so that we who believe would now have the forgiveness of sins, and we have legally crossed the border there to God's side. Seems strange, does it not? Using language like that. Again, consider this. God wants us all to be on his side. And God has provided the means for everyone to be on his side. But here's the rub. There are those who do not want to follow God and remain on the other side. They want to live their lives the way they want to. And that's what the division is all about. Again, that's why Jesus came, to be the peacemaker. Jesus brings the message of peace to all the world. God the Holy Spirit works through God's word there. He works through the scriptures, direct and point people to Jesus. But wherever there are those who, well, quite frankly, refuse to repent of their sins, who refuse to believe in Jesus, who refuse to receive the grace that God is offering, division is created. Those that refuse that peace are refusing and rejecting Jesus. And consequently, those who believe in Jesus, they hate as well. Doesn't matter if it's inside your own family or not, there can be division inside a family between those who believe and those who do not. And that creates strife. That creates bad blood. That creates all kinds of problems. It's funny when you think about it. Those who refuse the gospel, they say that is the gospel that is the very cause of strife in our world. Interesting. Those that say such things are ignorant, quite frankly, of the peace that is offered them. They say that the gospel is to blame, but their very own corrupt nature is what is to blame. Jesus is not the cause of the world's problems. Jesus is the answer. When people refuse to believe in the answer, a problem will naturally be created. And here's what I mean. When you have believers and non-believers together, there will never be true peace. We who believe are considered to be part of the problem. We become targets of hate. We are constantly being pointed out as the source of strife in the world and division in the world. Think about how often that it is permissible for every other faith in the world to talk about their faith, but not so the Christian. Yet there will come a day when divisions will cease, that when strife will be cast away, and the source of all of that division, Satan, will be cast into the eternal fire. Unfortunately, for those who do not believe in Jesus, God's peacemaker, have doomed themselves, and they too will be cast into hell. Now, my son, he chose not to move to San Diego. He's still in Phoenix. And I'm glad, because I did not relish the thought of trying to help him move out of Arizona in August. The first time I was there, when we moved in, it was 106 degrees. And then, you know, you hear people say, it's like, oh, well, it's a dry heat. Let me tell you, 106 is hot. I don't care. Hell is hot. Time is short. That's why we need to remember that while we are living in division here on this world, what do we have? When we think about it, it's just for a brief moment. Let us be productive in our time here on this earth and continue to share the peace of God with those who so desperately need to hear it. Point others to Jesus, the Savior of the world. For the day is coming when all who believe in Jesus Christ will be gathered unto him, that will be in his place, his house, heaven, for all eternity. Turn to Jesus, share Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.